Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the Wrestling Podcast, where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and stuff. And today, this special Halloween edition of the Double Dropkick Show, we'll be talking about stuff. We're going to be talking about horror movies. And if you listen to the episode about Mark's vacation on this episode, in conjunction with those horror movies, he's going to be going a little more in detail about the Halloween Horror Nights haunted houses.
Yeah, because that was a request.
That was a request from one of our great listeners. So, Mark, there's no secret. We've talked about it before. You like horror movies?
Yes, sir.
I do not like horror
movies. But you watched a few horror movies.
I did.
Did you watch them all? Did you watch them in one sitting without your phone, lights out?
I watched Lights Out. I watched the first Halloween.
The original or the Rob Zombie?
The original.
Okay.
And then I watched the original Friday the 13th.
The first one?
Yes.
Okay.
And
what are your thoughts? Did it scare you? Because you sent me a picture that looked like you were kind of scared.
I was, I don't know the word to use. I don't know that I would say, I mean, I was jumpy.
Right.
But I think.
A little twitchy.
But as I was watching it, I felt like I was watching. It's like a Picasso painting. There's some people that get it and would pay a lot of money for it.
Right.
And then there's some people that's like, what is that? And that's kind of how I felt. I felt like these two movies, which I'd never seen,
really?
Had only seen bits and pieces of them, had been built so much up in my mind of what I'm about to see.
Right, right.
And
it just wasn't there. But you did find them scary. Or no, was that like the thing? You had built it up as it was going to be scary, and then it didn't do anything for you. Because I hear that, like, I've heard other people talk about, like, watching horror movies and thinking it was going to be something and then, like, not getting any feeling from it.
I don't. Okay, you know me. I'm the guy that watches a match is like, oh, his socks match his knee pads, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what happened.
Well, wait a minute. Why would you go back in the house?
I'm watching.
But that's the thing, like with watching those movies, like it's just like watching wrestling. Sometimes you have to remove the logic.
Correct.
Why would somebody do the things that they do? And I'll tell you why they do the things that they do, because as I tell my nephew all the time, when we were watching Transformers and the Transformers left Earth and the Decepticons start destroying the city, and he looked up at me and said, Uncle Mark, are the Transformers going to come back? And I went, it wouldn't be much of a movie if they did.
Yeah.
If they have to do these illogical things.
Right.
Because it wouldn't be much of a horror movie if they did.
Yeah.
If they thought, like, if they did what you and I would do and say, I'm going to go in here and get a gun, or I'm just going to get out of the house. I'm not going. The guy's coming. Why would I stand here at this door and beat on it and knock and hope somebody lets me in? Why wouldn't I keep running?
Right. So
because he ain't running, he's just walking.
Right.
Which makes him all the more terrifying.
So for me, the Friday the 13th, it was a little more. Even though I knew who the killer was,
right,
I didn't know how she was going to appear or make herself known. I just knew, okay, this is not a psychotic. Well, it's a psychotic person,
right.
But we're not. This is not the typical unkillable.
This is not a sociopath. This is maybe somebody with a vendetta,
right?
Somebody that wants to keep this camp from opening. And yes, there are There's some.
They're crazy, but it's crazy, not the unkillable monster.
Right. It's not a monster with no motivation.
Right.
Which is Michael Myers is just this unstoppable force.
Right.
There's no real motivation there, not until later on, and then definitely when Rob Zombie got involved.
So I felt like there was a part two where toward the end Michael Myers gets unmasked.
Yes.
And it's such and it's like it looks like the dude off the Goonies.
Yeah. Well, that's if you've ever seen like the high definition Blu-ray version of it, you can clearly see his face. A lot of people are there's a misconception about that.
Uh-huh.
That what you're actually seeing is the mask folding over itself.
And it's not his. He don't have a funny looking eye.
No, he does not. He doesn't really have a funny looking eye. It's the way the mask rolls up. Because I've heard John Carpenter talk about it, that coupled with in your brain, you think he must be a monster. Because what they wanted to illustrate in that scene was that he's not a monster. He's just this crazy guy. He's a psychopath.
All right, so talking about Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Which launched the slasher.
They never, at least I didn't catch it. The doctor and the nurse show up at the place.
Uh-huh.
And there's just people walking around outside, and one of them happens to be Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And what the crap?
Right.
He steals a car.
And it's the logic.
So that's what it was. So
like,
they literally.
When did he learn to drive?
But no, they were just letting him walk around outside.
No, it was an escape. They were not letting him walk around outside. Something had happened inside the asylum, but they didn't really explain what happened. It was like a power outage kind of thing. And then,
but there was more than one person.
Everybody got out of there. Yeah, there were a bunch of people meandering around because they had all gotten out of their rooms during this power outage.
They didn't explain
that. Were you on your phone?
No, I was watching the movie.
No, I agree. Yeah, you're right. You're right. They don't really.
Like, what just happened?
And this was like a big criticism, by the way, of the Rob Zombie version of the film.
Yeah.
Where basically the first hour is it's almost a documentary on how to make a sociopath. Whereas in the original Halloween, there's no explanation.
He just kills his sister at the beginning.
His sister. He goes to the asylum, and he gets out. But in Rob Zombie's version, it is here's the environment that this kid was in, and here's the stressors that were on his life that led him down this path, and here were the warning signs that if somebody had been paying more attention, they would have noticed.
Right.
And then when he gets to the asylum, there's a great spoil. There's this really good moment during the escape scene. So they explain how he escapes and why he escapes. And Danny Trejo, Machete, had been a security guard at the. And it showed they wanted to illustrate how far gone that Michael Myers was.
Right.
In that Danny Trejo had started there when Michael was a child.
Yeah.
And had been good to him and had been really, he called him Mikey, and he, like nobody else could communicate with Michael Myers. But Trejo could say, Mikey, I need you to calm down and just, you know, let's talk. And he would listen to him.
Yeah.
And then he gets out of his room and Trejo meets him in the hall and he said, hey man, let's just get you back to your room and let's say, and he kills Danny Trejo.
Wow.
And there's like this moment where even Danny Trejo, he was saying, but I was good to you. Like all these other guys treated you like crap, but I was good to you and I'm the one you're killing. And it was to illustrate he was gone.
Who plays the doctor in the new one?
Malcolm McDowell. And he was completely, I hated him in the new ones.
Okay.
Hated him in the new ones, man. Because the Dr. Loomis character, his sole motivation was, like, I know the evil that this man is, and I have to stop him.
Yeah.
And in the remakes, he was seeking to exploit him to make money and write books and stuff like that. And nobody liked it. A lot of people don't like Zombies version at all. I like it. I think it was great on its own.
Right.
Because my thought about it was, the Halloween movie previous to it had Tyra Banks and Busta Rhymes in it.
Yeah.
So my thought was always, so I can get another crappy movie with Busta Rhymes in it, or I can take a character that I like and maybe it goes in a different direction that I'm not 100% used to, or it's not in canon, so to speak, but at least it's a character that I like and it's another story that's been told differently, but told well.
Right.
Now, Halloween 2, the zombie version, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 sucked. It's awful. And I watched it like a few weeks ago. What? Just to see. Just
the second one.
Huh?
Rob Zombie. All right.
So you got Halloween 2, Halloween 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right.
And then like H2O.
Right.
20 years. Okay. Well, then they rebooted it.
Right.
And
the second Rob Zombie one.
The second Rob Zombie Halloween 2. And it's just not good.
Like what's wrong with it?
Everything.
Okay.
Everything. It's just, I can't even explain everything that's wrong with this movie. It's just, it's excessive when it shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And it's, Michael doesn't talk, but he kind of talks. Yes. And he only says one word. But still, there's a moment where he's walking around without the mask on, mm-hmm. and these guys start messing with him, and then he puts the mask on. Because that was like a big thing, that when he had the mask on, he was a killer. So he would take the mask off, and you could probably... It wasn't good, man.
Speaking of being excessive, can we talk about The Walking Dead now, since we're in this?
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I don't watch The Walking Dead.
Right.
The only
thing, let me stop by saying, before you even, like, if you have not seen,
spoiler alert,
the season premiere of The Walking Dead, I'm going to talk about what happened.
And you need to.
If you don't want to know.
And if you're a real Walking Dead fan and you haven't seen it by now, you're not real Walking Dead.
You're not really going to care. You know what I mean?
The only thing that I will.
But I do want people to understand that I'm going to tell you who Negan killed.
Yeah. The only thing that I want to speak to is there was a conversation on Facebook, and a lot of people didn't realize it was based on a comic book. And I think it was Comic Book Review posted side by side the comic book frames of this scene with Negan that you're going to talk about and the TV. Yeah. And it was almost frame for frame.
Yes.
Because a lot of people on Facebook was like, man, that was kind of excessive, man. They kind of upped the brutality. And I'm like, it's frame for frame from the comic book. So, talk about it.
All right.
I didn't watch it. I don't watch The Walking Dead. Not my deal.
Originally, the idea for this show was I was going to give 31 horror movies out.
Right.
Or things that I watch during Halloween. And we're still going to go into some of that.
Yeah.
But over the past few years, it's been less about movies and more about The Walking Dead and American Horror Story coming out in October. And
yeah.
That kind of being what a lot of people started watching. So they enraged everybody last year with the tease when Negan comes out, gives a speech. He points the bat, boom, he cracks somebody over the head. You see the point of view shot of them falling out. So here come the spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
Here be the spoilers, as they say. So I'm giving you time right now. If you don't want to know, you better hit the fast forward button for 5 minutes, because here are the spoilers in 3, 2, 1. In the comic book, he beats Glenn to death with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
So for those of us who follow the comics,
yeah,
there was an idea already that he's probably going to kill Glenn.
Right.
So I give them credit for having the first person he beat to death being Abraham.
Yeah.
Because I was not expecting Abraham. And honestly, it felt like a cop-out to me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, and, you know, Abraham is a supporting character on that show.
Yeah.
He's not a...
The guy that looks like Sheamus.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But he's not a main...
Yeah.
He's not one of the main characters. They met him along the path somewhere.
Yeah.
So it felt like a little bit of a cop-out. Now, also, I will say they made everybody mad because they didn't tell you who he killed last season. But I was fine with that because we live in a different world now where everybody watches six seasons over 2 weeks on their Netflix and their whatever. So they need to know exactly. But we grew up in a different era.
Oh, gosh.
Where cliffhangers were what you did. That's how you ended a season because that's what made me want to watch the next season.
I just finished watching.
Boy, I just finished a complete thought one time in my life without you interrupting me. But go ahead. What'd you just watch?
I just binge watched the latest season of Longmire, and it's a cliffhanger. Yeah. And then I heard they probably canceled the show. I'm so mad. Anyway, I'm sorry. You threw me off.
You threw me off. I threw you off. Mark, tell us about The Walking Dead. What happened?
But you went off on a tangent.
Wait, I'm going to let you get on a roll, and then I'm going to jump in and tell everybody, I just watched Longmire. Nobody gives a damn that you just watched Longmire.
There are people. We have our survey show. 19% of the males that listen to our show are. I was speaking to the. You were talking about binge watching stuff.
I'm just, man, calm down. Why, you always get mad.
I don't get mad.
You do. You're
I
mad
get
right
even.
Now.
I'm not mad.
You're mad right now.
All right, so.
So anyway, we get to, like, I'm used to cliffhangers. I understand that's a storytelling device, so I didn't have a problem with it. What I didn't like was when episode one of the new season started, that they didn't immediately tell me who he killed. Because it created, I read an article that said it almost created a bloodlust in the audience to see who had been, who's he going to kill?
Because
they didn't tell you. They start at after he's already killed him.
Yeah.
And then they're going to show you in flashbacks who he killed. So he, by any, many, mighty, mo, and he cracks Abraham over the head. And there again, it was this moment where, whew, you know, he didn't kill like a really like a beloved character.
Right.
You know. But it felt like a cop-out. I felt let down.
Yeah.
Because I felt like there should have been some more weight to who he killed. Well, then there's this big, I'm going to kill you. If you watch the trailer where Rick's like, it ain't going to happen today. And it ain't going to happen tomorrow. But I am going to kill you.
Yeah.
So... And Daryl gets up, hits Negan. Negan's like, hey, there are consequences to hitting me. And he turns around and he flops Glenn on top of the head, who is the guy that he killed in the comics. So he hits Glenn in the head with the ball bat. And it is, like his eyeball is hanging out. And they draw attention. Like Negan mentions the fact that his eyeball is hanging out.
Yeah.
And then they focus on it. And he looks at Maggie, who is the mother of his unborn child, right? She's pregnant with his kid. And he says, Maggie, I'll find you. And then Negan beats him to death. And it was awful, man. It was brutal. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was brutal, but that's a brutal show.
Yeah.
There was a title card before that scene happened that said, this program contains excessive violence.
Yeah.
Viewer discretion advised.
Do not try this at home.
Yeah. So if it bothered you.
Right.
Then you shouldn't be watching it.
Right. And a lot of people, the hubbub on, I'm done. I can't be. Number one.
Well, be
I,
done.
Right.
Be
I,
done.
I can't believe they killed Glenn and it's too violent. It's a show called The Walking Dead.
It's a violent show. It's a violent comic book.
Yes. I have all the comics.
It is a show that is meant to illustrate that originally the point was if there was an apocalypse like this, it's not over in an hour and a half. This is an ongoing world that you will have to live in.
Yeah.
And these are the stories of what it's like to have to live in that world.
And
And that's the kind of thing that would happen.
And you have moved from season one. The only thing you got to fear is the zombies. And now you're in season seven, right. And the zombies are almost the least of your worries.
And that's the point. The name of the show, The Walking Dead, is about the people who are still alive are the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
That's the double meaning of the name of the show. It's not that the zombies are the Walking Dead. It's the people who are still alive are the Walking Dead.
Tell me about this.
Wait, before I do, okay. One more thing. I'm worried that Negan is going to be, he should be this ultimate evil, and he's too charismatic. He's the NWO of bad guys.
They're going to bring him to his hometown.
He's a cool heel. Yeah, they're going to bring him to his hometown and expect everybody to boo him. but then we get to the point where Rick is still defiant.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great scene, by the way. So Rick is very much defiant. Like I'm not going to go into every little detail of the show, but he takes Rick off and he tries to convince him this is the way it is. Now I'm in charge. He said, "You're still looking at me, you know, like you want to kill me. And I'm not getting the look from you that I feel like I need to be getting." So he said, "Bring me his son." And he brings his son over and he asks somebody for a pen. He asked him, "Are you right-handed or left-handed?" He said, "I'm right-handed." He said, "Okay." So he takes his left hand and he draws a line about halfway down his forearm and he lays him down on the ground and they pin him down and he hands Rick a hatchet. He said, "Chop his arm off." He said, "Your choices are you can chop his arm off or I'm going to kill every one of these people one at a time in front of you. And then I'm going to kill him. And then I'm going to leave you alive for 2 or 3 years and let you think about what I did. So that's your choice. Or you can chop his arm off. What are you going to do?" Imagine having to make that choice. He's going to kill all these people. And he's going to kill him if I don't chop his arm off. And then he's going to kill me, but he's going to let me sit around and stew in it for a couple of years before he does. So the decision is made, I'm going to have to chop his arm off. And even Carl looks up and he says, "Just do it. You know, we don't have a choice. You got to do it." So he takes the hatchet. He goes to bring the hatchet down and Negan jumps in and stops him. He said, "No." And Rick's pleading with it. "Please don't make me do this." He's crying. "Please don't, like, chop, kill me, chop my arm off, but don't make me do this." And he finally steps in and he said, "That was the look that I needed to see from you." Because he's broke. He broke him.
Yeah.
You know, he broke him. So to see, but to me, like, wrestling needs to be watching that.
Yeah.
That's how, like, if Will Ospreay, I heard his little shoot interview where he talked about wrestling the guy that actually drew money. Right. Big Van Vader.
Yeah.
With Will Ospreay's ugly little mouth and his ugly little teeth and his stupid little accent. And he's sitting there talking about, "That was the biggest match of my life. I should have won. I should have been able to win that match." And he just proved that everything that Big Van Vader said about him, that he didn't understand the simplest of storytelling devices, which is establish the monster very strong and take the baby face and break him down completely.
Yeah.
My friend at work the other day, I like to make sure we talk about wrestling in every episode. I did something and I was, you know how I am. I'm mean. And I don't mean anything by it, but I understand it does hurt a lot of people's feelings. But to me, it's just that my daddy was mean to me, but not mean. It was just, it's our sense of humor. It's, I don't mean it. We're just messing with each other. We're just busting. Like, to me, it's busting chops.
Yeah.
Some people get their feelings hurt. I don't, because me and my daddy used to talk to each other like that. My nephew and I talked to each other like that. But I said something, messing with him. He said, "All right, that's it. You're going on the list." And I said, "What are you talking about?" Because I haven't watched wrestling in 3 months. He said, "You know, Jericho." I said, "What about him?" He's like, "Well, he does the list thing, and he writes it." And I had heard you make the joke, too, but I don't follow it.
Yeah.
So what is it? He said, "Well, if somebody does him wrong, he writes their name on a list or whatever." And I said, "Okay, that's why I don't watch wrestling anymore."
Right.
He said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Because when I was a kid, the Horsemen and Ric Flair didn't like Dusty Rhodes, and they locked him in a cage and broke his leg.
Right.
And they took him out in a parking lot, and they tied him to a truck, broke his arm with a baseball bat. Now people are writing folks' names down on a list and calling each other, because he was talking about Sparkle Crotch. I said, they're calling each other Sparkle Crotch. And that's why I don't watch wrestling anymore.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. I'm not interested in watching that.
Yeah.
And it may be entertaining.
Right.
It may be.
Yeah.
But to me, I don't care about that. I like violence. I want to see violence in wrestling.
Yeah.
That's why I like Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
He's the only guy that's violent.
Yeah. And
that's why I like The Walking Dead, because it is violent.
Yeah. And I think they're appealing. I feel like they got all these 30-somethings who are trying to. They're writing for WWE because they weren't good enough for Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I saw you said that.
And they're trying to. They're just in this weird. We talked about it on.
A bunch of guys that have never been in a fight trying to write how somebody would act if they got in a fight. And that's all they can figure is, I'm going to put your name down somewhere.
Right. And again, there was part of me that thinks, you know, the thing with Jericho, that there's part of me that thinks it's very entertaining, but then there's a part of me that is longing for something more.
Yeah.
And Jericho is so good with it. And so, yeah, but
Jericho's good at everything he does.
But
I'm sure it's entertaining.
But it part of the reason WWE is falling off with folks like you and I is they're not writing for us anymore.
Nah. Huh.
They're writing for the kid who's, you know, dropped out of college, living with their parents, can't keep a job, who, you know, sit around eating
with
Cheetos.
No chin.
Right, eating
the guy with no. They're writing for the guy with no chin who can now pull for the guy that doesn't have a chin.
This is very true. Very true. And so anyway, this is not a show about
it's
funny.
Not about wrestling, but I did want to draw that parallel with the building the monster up and breaking the baby face down, so that 6, 7, 8, maybe even next season.
Yeah.
We may get a whole season of Rick getting beat down.
Yeah.
And Rick getting stripped. And Rick, but eventually.
Yeah.
He will kill Negan.
Yeah. And it'll be a great moment.
And it's going to be, it'll finally, like, and he'll be able to take a break.
But this generation wanted that to happen at the end of episode one. They don't want to go on the ride of three seasons of Rick getting screwed with.
Right. And that's the thing. It's that whole "you deserve it" thing. Somebody probably, when Rick finally kills Negan, will chant "you deserve it." Yeah.
So somebody texted me about something with wrestling, so.
Did you tell them we're talking about wrestling right now? You want to pause?
No, we're good. We're good.
Hang on just a second. Let me check my email, huh?
I got a text about it's.
eBay wants me to help protect my account.
No, listen.
I guess I need to. Wait.
I got a text about a belt I'm trying to order, and I got to finish ordering it anyway.
Well, I know, but I got to protect my eBay account. Right?
Your eBay account doesn't need protecting.
Wait. Just hold on a minute.
Let's talk about.
I'm protecting my eBay account right now.
Do you have an eBay account?
Yes.
What do you buy on eBay?
I used to sell stuff on eBay and made money doing it, and would like to do it again if I could find the right thing. But it's just hard to make money doing anything nowadays, other than getting out and working.
This is very true. Very true.
There's no jobs out there unless you want to work 40 hours a week.
So when you think of horror movies, and if you could only watch one horror movie for the rest of your life,
that's tough, man. Just to say I can only watch one.
But what's your go to horror movie?
Like, okay, so let me just do this. I'm gonna run down. Halloween.
Yeah.
I like the first one. I like the second one. I like the fourth one.
The third one doesn't have anything to do with it.
The third one doesn't have, it's a different story. The idea was that they had told the story in part one and two of Michael Myers, and what they wanted was a deal where they could release a film every year on Halloween that maybe had a different storyline. So they did part three, which is about Silver Shamrock and the masks and all that. And it's not, it's campy. It's not, if I, somebody will go watch it and say, boy, Mark said this was good and it sucks. But it's like this piece of 80s, like anything in the 80s. If you go back and watch it with it's that nostalgia, not it's not going to be as good. Right. But it's still, it's all right. And then part four, they bring Michael Myers back. And it's pretty good. Four and five are pretty good. Six fell apart because they started this whole storyline. And I just got the producer's cut last year of it, which they had completely changed the storylines at the end. So I got to see that finally. And then the one that when Jamie Lee Curtis came back is pretty good.
Yeah.
Where she's, yeah, where he finds her and she's been in witness protection is pretty good.
As is the case with most of my experience with horror movies, I've only seen a few, but I saw Halloween 2 like five times. Saw Friday the 13th, the one where Jason's gets shocked back to life. Saw that one like five times.
Yeah, that was a big one when we were part six, when he's in the grave and they do the, zombie Jason. What's that whole zombie Jason stuff? So as far as the Friday the 13th, I generally, at Halloween, I generally watch a few of those. But I just watched them like a few months ago because I got the box set with all of them in it.
Yeah.
So
one of the other ones I watched was Jason 10.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wretched.
Is that the one in space?
Yes.
See, I like that one. I like, as far as being a fun movie, the kills in that movie are spectacular. If you get past that ridiculous storyline, it's one of the better films in the franchise.
Can I just say that a lot of those movies, it's like, I think the directors are like, you know what? I'd like to make a movie with some nudity in it. All right, we're going to make a horror movie. And it's like, you know, anyway.
I understand. You have a different sensibility and taste than I do.
Right.
So we're not going to agree on stuff like that, obviously. But, I mean, you probably think that movie with the daughter from Duck Dynasty that just came out about Columbine, you'll probably love it. And I would think it was the biggest piece of fluff that that had ever been written, you know.
Didn't know about that movie. But
you didn't? I just saw a preview for it the other day on something I was watching. But I'm trying to think of one of these ridiculous movies that they make that you probably think is great. That I wouldn't like at all. Like, God is not dead.
God's not dead.
Did you like that?
It was all right.
See, you thought it was all right, and I would never even consider watching it.
Right.
Because I know it's not going to be good.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that to insult you.
Right.
Or that. I'm saying that to illustrate that
we just have different tastes.
We like different tastes. We like different things.
I like the list. You don't like the list.
That's what makes this show work.
Right. We're not the same.
Yes. We don't agree. It's weird that, because people have said we agree a lot on wrestling, which is true, but that's about it.
You pull for Big Van Vader, and I was pulling for Will Ospreay.
Right.
Right.
And that there's some truth. Yeah. So we're different.
Now, I agree with everything you said earlier about the Will Ospreay Vader thing.
Right.
But when we're watching the match,
you want Ospreay to win, and I want Vader to trounce him.
Right.
Which is pretty much what happened.
Right.
So, where was I?
You were talking about Friday the 13th. You were watching those.
So, the first four, really not even. The first one doesn't really. I mean, it's a great movie, but it's a different storyline, really.
And I read that they were just, it wasn't going to. Jason was never going to be a part of it. And they're like, oh, let's have him jump up out of the lake.
And his name was supposed to be Josh originally.
Really?
Fortunately, they changed that because I don't like Josh X. Josh goes to hell. It doesn't sound as good.
I never saw the Freddy versus Jason.
Really?
Was that
any good?
Good,
man. Yeah, it's really good. I mean, it's a different story with characters that you like.
Right. Okay, gotcha. You
know? So the first four Friday the 13th movies are spectacular.
Yeah.
Probably as far as watching four films in a row. really taking part one out, so 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
The scene when he walks down the boat dock with the hockey mask on in part 3, when he gets the hockey mask,
mm-hmm.
it's iconic.
Yeah.
The ending of part 4 is great. Part 5 gets, because Jason is not the killer in part 5.
Right.
But it's a great Friday the 13th.
Who's the killer in part 5?
His name's Roy.
Yeah.
And he was an EMT whose kid got butchered. He went nuts.
Is Jason in part 5?
He dresses up as Jason.
Oh.
And kills a bunch of people. Spoiler alert. Part 6 introduced the zombie.
Yeah.
Jason. And then part 7 brought telekinesis into it. Part 8, I mean, it's like the most hated of all.
Which one was part 8?
That's Jason Takes Manhattan.
Oh, Lord.
Which, the buildup for it was incredible.
Yeah.
So, Lesnar Goldberg,
yeah.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
The build for Jason Takes Manhattan was, what happens if you take Jason Voorhees and unleash him on the city of New York?
Yeah.
What kind of chaos
right.
is going to ensue? And then the first hour and 15 minutes of the movie was on a cruise ship going to New York. So,
wasn't even in New York.
They did go to New York eventually, but I mean, it was
But the movie should have been called Jason Takes a Boat to
Jason
New York.
Jason Goes on a Cruise would have probably been a better name for that. But some of the kills were good. I mean, it was interesting. Like, if you had sold it as you're going to take, instead of taking Jason
right.
and unleashing him on a city, what happens if you were on a boat out in the middle of water with Jason and you can't escape and he's on a boat with you? Like, sell that as the premise, and that's good.
That's good.
And I think if they'd done that, people would have probably liked it more.
You think Jason kills everybody and then realizes, I don't know how to drive a boat?
Well, he didn't kill everybody on the boat. So Then he chased him around the city for 10 minutes, and then he went in the sewer and became a kid again. Jason Goes to Hell. We saw that together,
yeah.
I think. Not great.
Oh, my.
Not great, because Jason's not really in it.
They just changed the whole story. It's like, yeah. Oh, he has a demon heart.
Yeah. This is weird.
So, we mentioned Friday, Nightmare on Elm Street. What about mm-hmm. that? Again, there was like part 3, I saw 4 or 5 times.
Part 3 is probably the second best one to me. But I wanted to mention the Friday the 13th reboot, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
Like, the first 20 minutes of that movie is the best Jason you'll ever see.
Uh-huh.
It's awesome.
Okay. The way now, who did that?
A guy named Derek Mears played him.
Okay.
But he just, like, the first 20 minutes of that movie is Jason kind of recreating some of his famous kills. And it's just awesome, man. Like, I loved it. Loved it.
The new.
The reboot. Yeah, I thought it was great. There again, it's not perfect, but it's a character that I like in a new story. You know what I mean? It could have just been another crappy Jason movie.
So, all right. So, one common thread, and again, note to WWE, one common thread is you have iconic characters.
Yes.
Are there iconic characters in wrestling today?
John Cena's it.
John Cena and maybe Brock Lesnar.
And The Undertaker. But, I mean, those guys are part-time. I mean, the guys who are there every day, there's not anybody anymore.
Right.
You know? Nightmare on Elm Street, I like the first one, and I like the third. The first one is awesome, man, because Freddy's not happy-go-lucky joking around Freddy. He's mean.
Yeah.
He's hateful. He is who, you know, and then 3 was really good. Then it was ridiculous. He became joking and everything. Part 2 sucks.
Yeah.
Completely different storyline.
What about the reboot of it?
The reboot was okay. I mean, it wasn't all that great, but it was all right. I mean, I didn't hate it like a lot of other people did.
And now they're rebooting mm-hmm. next year, yeah. Halloween and Friday the 13th.
And then you got Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which presents Freddy in a vastly different, much more mean-spirited, taking him back to like the first film, and really more is the original vision for what Freddy was.
Right.
Like, he kind of took him back to that, which was good. And then probably my favorite horror movie of all time is the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Which was just this brutal, it looks real, it looks like a documentary, the film, it's just an awesome, awesome movie. And we did we said we were going to talk about the houses at Halloween Horror Nights, and I hadn't even got to those, and we're probably getting close on time, but.
No, we're good. So, if you went into the Texas Chainsaw Massacre house, what was it like?
Well, when you walk up, they had built the front of the house. And the front and side, when you walked around the building, they had built the house there. Mm. So you felt like you were walking in the back door of Leatherface's clan's house. It was there. So you're standing outside looking at it, and I got some pictures and video from out front.
Yeah.
And you can hear chainsaws revving up in the house. And it's just, oh, it was like, that's the thing with them. Like, there was attention to detail. It looked like you were walking into their house. And inside, it was made to look like a house.
Wow.
And you just walk through, and you go in the kitchen where one of the famous scenes happened, and Leatherface was in there butchering a guy. And he's looking at you, look, with his chainsaw. And he's like, putting it down on the guy on the table, and they're spraying water all over the place. Instead, it's not blood, but it's just water. But it feels like the blood splattering on you. It's Halloween Horror Nights is a completely different animal. It's
not for the faint of heart.
It is not. It really isn't. If you don't like gore, because that's the thing about it. Like, you go to a lot of these houses, and they're going to jump out and scare you, and that's the same anywhere. But the gore level at Halloween Horror Nights is what it's all about.
Is off the chart. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And then you see him, and he wears a couple of different outfits in the first one, a couple of different face masks. A lot of people don't know that. And you see each one of those, and he obviously chases you out of the house.
Yeah.
You know, which is hard to do in a conga line.
Right.
You know, it's hard to chase everybody out. So we didn't get chased out, but some people did.
You probably no-sold it anyway.
I did.
You're like, I ain't leaving.
Yeah,
I'm moving in here.
If you sell it to those guys, they'll just keep messing with you. So right. I never sold that anything was bothering me.
What the movie I want to talk about, a movie that shaped me at a young age, as I foolishly watched it with my brother, I want to talk about The Exorcist House.
First of all, The Exorcist movie is incredible. There's a reason that it's on every single list that you ever see of the scariest movies of all time. There's a reason that it's always number one or number two.
Yeah.
You never see a list of horror movies and it ain't in the top two or three that people talk about.
Right.
Because it is that terrifying.
Yeah.
It is that scary. It is one of the only, I saw it in a movie theater.
Yeah.
It is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I still, as much as I revisit a lot of these other horror movies, I do not revisit The Exorcist very often.
No.
I will be here probably in the next month or two because I bought it on DVD after seeing The House. So I want to watch it again. But The House was just, it wasn't just as scary as the movie, but the scene where she set up and her head spun around and she vomited, they recreated that in the house with water instead of puke. But they recreated that. The scene where she's flopping back and forth on the bed.
Yeah.
She was on the bed. The scene when the bed was floating in the air, they recreated that where you're in the room and everything's floating around. They recreated it. They had Pazuzu, the demon that possessed her, would flash on the wall.
Oh, as you were Jiminy Cricket.
So you've seen her, right? The demon. Like, they flashed her face in different places.
Because
they had somebody dressed up as her.
Because in the movie, at the end, when the priest is shaking her, come into me, come into me, his face flashes to the demon. And
then he jumps out the window and kills himself.
Allegedly. I didn't see Exorcist 2. I saw Exorcist 3. And it's...
That scared you too?
Yeah. Even sitting here, I'm getting it. So
anyway, nervous talking about it.
The thing about The Exorcist, why it's so, is you talk about all the horror movies. Okay. I know Texas Chainsaw Massacre is somewhat based. It is based on a true story. Loosely.
Yeah, not really.
But The Exorcist, based on a true story. So I want to talk
about, allegedly.
What I'm saying is The Exorcist deals with subject matter. Mm-hmm. That is, in my mind, it is real.
Allegedly.
Are you saying, all right, so you don't think that demonic possession is a thing?
I guess it could be. Yeah, I wouldn't count it out. I wouldn't.
I have, yes. Anyway. So there's a movie called Possessed from 2000. Not a great movie, not a well-known movie, but it's based on the story that The Exorcist is taken from. And it is, again, spoiler alerts abounding. Timothy Dalton plays this priest, and he's in the army in, like, World War II. And he's on the battlefield, and he sees a soldier dying. And the soldier's like, please, come give me last rites. Come give me last rites. And he's so scared, he can't. And then while this is happening, the German officer that's over this brutality puts on a record. And it's, you know, some opera song. So at the end of the, in the end, Timothy Dalton and another priest are trying to cast the demon out of this boy. And he starts floating and spinning around, and he starts singing that opera song. And I'm telling you that, I mean, the hairs on the back of my neck, and it is just this, you know, crazy, just crazy. But
check that. I've never seen that.
It's called Possessed. I've got the, yeah. I got it pulled up. I had to look it up because I couldn't remember the name of the movie.
And I'll tell you, talking about possession and stuff like that, my nephew and I watched The Conjuring 2 the other day. And it is a really good horror movie.
Yeah.
The Conjuring was good. Like, yeah. I enjoyed The Conjuring. Yeah. But The Conjuring 2 is one of the better horror movies I've seen. And I like slasher films. Right. And it's not a slasher film at all.
Right.
But here lately, there's been an over-reliance on to equal wrestling. Basically, the jump scare is doing a ridiculous move that nobody sells.
Oh, gotcha.
In wrestling.
Yeah.
Which is, it gets real quiet.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it gets real loud and somebody jumps out.
Right.
And it, you know, but that's it. Like, right. It's done. But The Conjuring 2 did not rely on jump scares. It relied on, here's a guy in a room, and there's somebody sneaking up behind him, and you're watching this guy walk up on this guy that doesn't know he's there. And just, it creates this suspense and this tension and this feeling of dread about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Just an incredible, if you want to see a good horror movie, The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, Conjuring 1 and 2, based on actual events. A lot of people don't know this.
Ed Warren, the people who also were big in the Amityville thing.
A lot of people don't know this. Conjuring 1 and 2, written, directed, produced by two Christian brothers. I read a great, read a great interview with them, and they were like, why are you guys doing this? And they're like, look at our movies. There's no blood.
There's no
Sex, no profanity.
True.
And good wins in the end. He said, they said we're showing actual events of evil and good wins in the end.
That's true.
And I'm still not going to watch them, though.
You should. I'm telling you, if you want to get scared.
I did a lot of research on The Conjuring 2, on the
Edenfield.
The story of everything, and, you know, whether there was truth or whether it was a hoax or whatever. So,
I would recommend it. I really would. Like, both of them are great films.
All right, I'll put them on the list of things I'm not going to.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot is great.
Okay.
I love it. A lot of people don't. I love it.
Is that the one where they...
That's the one with Jessica Biel in it.
Okay, that's the one that they try to pretend didn't happen? That these Matthew McConaughey
No. That's a different.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I apologize.
Yeah, that's a that was tied into the original story.
Okay.
The original four. Yeah, yeah. Then they rebooted it with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre that had Jessica Biel.
And you liked it.
And I liked it. Yeah. Boy, that's people ought to be just enthralled with what I. It was good.
It was good. What about The Shining? That's one that you told me to watch and I've never seen.
It's really good, yeah. It's really good. It's creepy as all get out. Just, you know, that family dynamic and
right.
the father flipping out. And I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
The lodge where the movie, the outside filming takes place, I actually went there. It's in Oregon.
Really?
And I got to have a picture of that somewhere.
Oh, I'd like to
somebody
go
said, oh, I mean, it was just, they just used the outside. It's not, you know, none of the inside footage was from actually inside the lodge. It was just
right.
the outside.
Right. The overlook, isn't that?
Something like that. It was
on. It was either called the overlook in the movie or the name of it is the overlook. I can't remember.
I can't remember. I just remember it was weird because it was like, I can't remember. We were, you know, you're on top of this mountain, and there's snow, and there's not snow anywhere else.
Right.
And it was pretty cool.
There's another horror. Also, like if you're just looking for a good Halloween movie, there's a film called Trick or Treat. It's really good. It's a what do you call them?
Is that the one where kids go door to door instead of candy, they get vegetables?
I don't remember.
Because that's a horror movie.
I don't remember, but. It's vignettes. It's not like one
gotcha.
Big storyline. It's vignettes, you know, it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, different story. It's a good one. And then I've always at Halloween, I like to watch Charlie Brown.
The Great Pumpkin.
The Great Pumpkin.
That was one great thing. Denver Downs had a whole Charlie Brown theme this year.
There was something else I was wanting to mention. I never forgot what it was. I tell you what I watched the other day, man. This is what it is. Ichabod Crane and Mr. Toad.
Haven't seen that.
Disney put it out years ago. And it used to come on TV every year.
Oh.
But they quit showing it because in the Ichabod Crane, because it's two stories. The Wind in the Willows, which is the Mr. Toad.
Right.
Which, I don't care about that. But the Ichabod Crane is the Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but in it, people are drinking and smoking. So Disney quit showing it, but they finally put it out on DVD a year, like last year. And I just picked it up the other day, but it retold the legend of Sleepy Hollow. And I remember it scaring me when I was a kid. And it's got the Headless Horseman and all that.
Right.
It's good, man. I really enjoyed it.
You ever seen the Sleepy Hollow with Johnny Depp?
Mm-hmm.
That ain't good.
It's okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a Tim Burton film with Johnny Depp. So you kind of know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But it was good, man. Christopher Walken played the Headless Horseman.
Did he talk like this?
I don't know if he talked. He did speak a few times, but he didn't speak much. But it's Christopher Walken playing the Headless Horseman.
Right.
How awesome is that? But it's like a steampunk kind of movie. It's good, man. It's good. And the TV show's good. I haven't kept up with it, but I watched
either.
A couple episodes of it.
I quit watching after the first. I liked the premise of the show. Mm-hmm. And then it was just like dragging on and dragging on.
As shows will tend to do.
Yes.
They keep going.
And I watched, I think I got to, this is how enthralled I was. I got to the season finale and didn't even watch
the first
season finale.
Yeah. Psycho, you got to watch
Psycho.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
I've seen that.
Kind of created that Psycho. Even though Halloween created the slasher genre in America, so to speak, still
the
Psycho is
the scene where Norman Bates is revealed and he's got the knife and you see him in the wig and the dress. I have PTSD from that. I mean,
well, he's not revealed there, but
what I'm saying
you
is
mean when the mother opens the shower stall. Because at that
I'm talking about when they reveal him at the end.
Oh, okay,
just
yeah.
The
after
look,
they find
the look,
mother in the closet,
the look on his face.
Yeah,
like I have. There's times where like my brain will just flash to that, and I'm like, oh, peed my pants a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they started making a ton of those movies, and then they did a TV movie, and then they.
Now they've got Bates Motel.
Yeah, Bates Motel.
Which is really good.
I have not watched
it's
that.
It's really good. We watch it. I watched the first two seasons. The third one, I think, just kind of came out on Netflix, so I haven't had a chance to start it yet, but it's good, man.
Okay. All right.
It's good.
Any other closing thoughts? Any other horror movies?
I'm sure there are a ton that I missed.
And, hey, please keep your emails and your tweets. Yeah. He's admitting. The man is admitting. He's
I
left
didn't write
some,
a list. Down.
We didn't talk about Jaws. We didn't talk about...
The Devil's Rejects I love.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorites. But there's so many horror movies out there
right.
that I like. And but those, these are the ones that I fall back on. It. I fall back on the... And the Universal Monsters, I have the Blu-ray set.
Uh-huh.
The Universal Blu-ray set, which is Wolfman, Frankenstein. You know who they are.
Yeah.
Bride of Frankenstein, Creech.
Dracula.
Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and The Phantom of the Opera. It's got all of them on Blu-ray in this huge pack, and it was like $120 or something. Well, I found it like a year or two ago for $60 on sale, so I was able to get it real cheap.
Drake and I watched the original Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
We weren't impressed.
You know why? It's because it had been a stage production, and they did it as a stage production. They presented the movie as, because it was new. I mean, movies were new
right,
at the time.
Right.
But they presented it as though you were watching the stage production. So the people that did it were theater performers, and that's
right.
the way they did the movie. I'm a like Frankenstein and the Wolfman. I prefer
uh-huh.
over and Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Did you watch the new Wolfman from like it's been in the last 10 mm-hmm. years with
Anthony Hopkins and Benicio del Toro?
Yeah,
yeah, I did. Yes, it was what it was. They're actually rebooting. If you don't know, Universal wants to get in the franchise business.
Yes. Brilliant.
They want to be like DC and Marvel and have this. So they are launching. They tried it with Dracula Untold, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So this year, Tom Cruise is starring in the Mummy remake.
Right.
Which they're looking to launch Universal Monsters universe.
Yes.
Where all of them will interact with one another, and they'll come together, and who knows what their plan is.
Yeah.
But they're making a Van Helsing film now. Remaking one of those, trying to get that going, which is cool. I hope that
they get
do,
it right.
And I hope it's successful because I love those characters.
The newer Wolfman movie, I felt that after I saw it, that hey, we've got really cool special effects to show a guy changing into a werewolf. It's going to take about a minute. Let's build a whole movie around that.
And that was it.
Yeah.
And the, once the gimmick was over,
right,
the movie wasn't that great. And the original Wolfman is an incredible film.
Yeah,
it with Lon Chaney, it's just the special effects are nowhere near what they are
right.
today. But the mood and the atmosphere.
Yeah,
and I didn't get into these either. The Hammer horror.
Never heard of it.
Oh, I love Hammer. Hammer was a British studio. That
uh-huh.
made horror films. And they also used Frankenstein, Dracula, Wolfman,
yeah.
and Mummy. But they created their own universe and their own characters. And I love the setting.
Yeah.
Just something like the cobblestone streets and the...
Did they do the Dracula with Christopher
Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Peter Cushing. He played Dr. Frankenstein. He was in Star Wars. Both those guys were in
yeah.
Star Wars. But just the mood and the atmosphere that they create with the foggy London streets and the cobblestones and the light posts with the fog. And I love that. I love that gothic horror look.
You're talking about gothic. So it made me think of this movie that we hadn't talked about. Again, based on a comic book, the From Hell about
yes,
Jack the Ripper.
Yes, that's good.
With
the Hughes brothers.
I don't remember who made it, but
yeah.
it's
a good movie. Yeah, I've got it too.
I liked it for the conspiracy theory aspect
yeah.
of it.
Yeah, oh yeah, man. Oh yeah, it's good. I enjoy it.
So, again.
But the biggest horror show of all.
Yeah.
Right now, to me, this election. I'll be so glad when it's over.
Oh, man.
Whoever wins, whatever happens.
This would be done with it.
And I think, I really think, like, and we don't, I don't want to get off on who we support and whatever, because I don't support either of them.
Right. I've already voted, so.
But I think this is a great rebuilding point for our country. I think that everybody in the country realizes this is ridiculous.
Yes.
And I do think that.
I agree.
That we're going to pursue. I think this is a turning point for our country. Regardless of who wins.
One conversation that I've had with different people who have been really put off with Trump and Trump's rhetoric of make America great again. See, I am of the opinion that I have to believe that America's best days are ahead.
Yeah.
Because if you look at even our best moments that we've had, it's tempered by, you talk about World War II, how great we were in World War II. Mm-hmm. You got black men going to fight for our country. They come back, they can't vote. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go back to that. So that's my personal, but I feel like, I feel like people like us, okay, middle-aged white Americans, we have to embrace and accept that the world is changing, that America is changing, and that, you know, we are not going to be a majority for much longer.
No.
And
that's okay, man.
That's very much okay. And we, to be honest, I mean, we could have done better.
Yeah.
We could have done better.
Yeah, we made a couple of mistakes. but it's true, man. I mean,
right.
You just have to accept things, man.
There's some things I think that you need to accept. And then there's some things that I think we should never accept. But I think that's the tension is this election is there's some people that just want to go back because they have this, there's this nostalgia.
Right.
And again, I think nostalgia is like these horror movies. You go back and you're like, it's not as good as I remember.
Days wasn't always good.
Right.
And tomorrow ain't as bad as it seems.
There you go. So,
but to one thing I wanted to mention, have you seen Tom Hanks on Saturday Night Live? Did you see his monologue?
I didn't see the monologue.
Oh, man. It's so good.
Uh-huh.
Somebody apparently wrote an article for some magazine a few months ago where they said Tom Hanks had become America's dad.
Yeah.
So the monologue was him saying, well, I take that role very seriously. So I need to have a talk with you right now. And he puts like a cardigan on and he sits down and they darken the stage and he goes, hey champ, I just want to talk to you for a minute. You know, you might have noticed that things are changing.
Yeah.
It's a scary time. And he just goes and he talks about different things in a funny way.
Yeah.
And it brings a little levity to things. It is very hard. It is very good what he said. Everybody needs to go watch it because he basically like talks to his kid, which is America, like it's going through puberty and some changes. And hey, maybe you're gay, and that's okay. he just goes through this whole thing. It's great.
The skit he did, Black Jeopardy.
That's funny.
That immediately became one of my favorite Saturday Night Live skits of all time. Yeah. It is so good.
Because it illustrated that if we would ever just sit down and talk to one another, we might find out we got more in common than we realize.
Right. Right.
But you got to get to the table. And everybody's got to be willing to sit down at the table with their ideas, with the freedom to present those ideas.
Yeah.
But also understand that somebody else has a different idea and we got to meet in the middle somewhere.
Right. And I think that what has happened is you have a ruling class with the lapdog media. at their, and they, I think they try to make things seem so much worse than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And I if you don't think that there are situations being manipulated and that there is some chicanery.
Oh God! Because listen, going man, on. I work with homosexuals.
Right.
I work with African Americans. I work with Hispanics. I have worked with Germans.
Yeah.
I've worked with French people. I can, you know, I've worked with Asians.
Yeah.
Asian Americans. I'm using wrong terms here. I apologize. Yeah. The right ones change every week. And I have always gotten along. And we always get along to achieve our common goal.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. And they don't care. As long as I do the work that I'm supposed to do, and as long as they do the work that they're supposed to do, we get along great. We don't agree on everything.
Right.
We don't all have the same outlooks on life, but we all show up and work toward our common goal of creating what we're supposed to create every day.
The greatest product in the world.
The greatest product in the world.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah.
And we show up and we do that and we get along fine.
Yeah.
And if we can do it in our little microcosm of the world, then everybody else can too.
I think there's so much in that where you all take pride. There's a culture where you work. You take pride in what you're doing. And I feel like there's so many. Listen, if you're here and you work at McDonald's, you need to take pride in what you do.
Yeah.
You need to make sure that every Big Mac you put out, that the special sauce ain't running off the sides. That it's just the right amount right there.
Right.
That the lettuce ain't all crazy when I open up that box. That it's a perfect burger.
Mm-hmm.
Take pride in what you, even if you know it's just a job to get you from point A to point B, take pride in what you're doing. And
if you're good at it, then the people that you work for will recognize it and you will move ahead.
Where were we at the other day? We were at a fast food place and it was a busy rush. And when the rush was kind of ending, the manager said, guys, great job. Mm-hmm. I appreciate. Was it Popeyes?
It was. Popeyes
and Bowling Springs.
Yeah, that's right.
Swig of coffee for the. And
I remember that.
I had never seen anything like that. And when we left, I said to him, I said, thank you. I'm like, this was great.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, though. I remember that. And him making sure that everybody on that team knew, man, y'all did a great job getting through that. And they did. And the food was hot.
Yeah.
And it tasted good. And
yeah.
There wasn't an issue, man. It was great. It was a company that seemed to care. That particular one, I don't
know.
Chick-fil-A's another one.
Yeah.
They take great pride in what they do.
Yeah.
I think we talked about it. I went to Chick-fil-A and it was wrapped around a building for the drive-thru one time. And they had a person standing there with an iPad with a menu. And I ordered. And then when I got to where normally you'd order at in the drive-thru, I swiped a card and went ahead and paid outside. And when I got to the window, my food was hot. It was ready when I got there. And everything was right.
Yeah. I don't know if I told you this. Chick-fil-A sets up a fake store to test all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have a big warehouse where they set up and practice all their systems.
Right.
Because they take pride in what they're doing.
And they should. Because they produce a good product.
Yeah.
They produce a great product.
Yeah.
And it's consistent.
Yes.
It's always right. I don't know how many times I've been to Chick-fil-A, but I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I have ever been there and them got it wrong.
I went through the drive-thru one time. They gave me the wrong kind of salad. I called them and they said, come back. Tell us your. I'm going to write your name down. You come back. We'll give you the right one.
Right.
And I said, well, I can't come back. They said, no. You come back anytime. I got your name right here.
Ah.
And I walked in a week or two later. Said, hey, I'm Heath Mulliken. They said, all right. And apparently they had a list. It wasn't very long.
That's awesome, man.
But
I've been to places like McDonald's, and there'd be two people in the drive-thru and sit there for 20 minutes and get it, and it'd be cold and wrong.
Listen, McDonald's knows that they ain't going to have your food ready. They've already set up parking spots for you to park.
Right.
The whole reason that I'm coming through your drive-thru is I don't want to park.
And I got to park.
I got to park.
Yeah. Yeah. But McDonald's is like Walmart.
Right.
They don't have to have great customer service. Nah. Because they know you're coming back.
Because we're all marks. Yeah. We're all marked for low prices.
That's it. Walmart knows that even if you're mad at them today, when you start thinking about going and buying your groceries, you're going to go back to Walmart because everything's $2 or $3 cheaper.
There are some... Hello? Check.
Uh-oh.
Hello?
Check. Well, if I'm still talking, it really that's the only important thing. As long as you're getting me.
You're gonna have to close the show out. Emma, go through all the stuff.
Well, apparently Heath's microphone has gone out, so we're gonna wrap this thing up right now. And he usually goes into this big spiel, and I'm not gonna do all that because you already know. Check us out on Twitter at the DDK Show. Check Heath out on Twitter. At Heath Mulliken. We're on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. But chances are, if you're listening to us, you already know that. You're already listening to us on one of those formats. But what we would like for you to do is go and rate us, review us, give us a 5-star, leave a little comment about how great we are. Or if you think we suck, you know, keep that to yourself. Nobody wants to hear that. You can check us out at DoubleDropKick.com. While you're there, there are banners. Click on those banners. It'll take you some places. Doesn't cost you anything. Just a couple of seconds of your time. Hey, go to Patreon. Check it out. Check out the terms. Look for us on there. Hey, we're also hoping we're going to talk about later maybe doing a thing with some shirts. So be listening out for that. And that's it for the Double Dropkick Show and Heath Mulliken. I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.